Accessing.
When TV and radio collide.
Love it. Wow.
This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex. Presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back on in, live from the Dish Pros. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jeremiah Jensen with Mitch Harper today, who's in for Alex Carey. What a day. A lot of big news dropped today regarding NHL to Utah. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Man, the smoke is thick today. The daily faceoff, Frank Saravalli, who you'll hear from shortly, reporting that the NHL Arizona Coyotes are working on agreement to sell and relocate to Salt Lake City. It's happening! It's awesome. So excited about this. We're going to get into that here in a moment. JJ and Alex is brought to you by G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. Let's do it. Let's discuss this news. It's The Cut at 5 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
So as I mentioned, Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff, and if you're an NHL hockey fan, you know who Frank Saravalli is. You know what Daily Faceoff is. As far as media goes, he's connected. He knows what's going on in the league. This is great reporting, and there's truth to this, and the train is rolling from Phoenix to Salt Lake City very quickly. But to get you caught up, he reports today that sources tell Daily Faceoff the NHL, the Arizona Coyotes, and the Smith Entertainment Group have made significant progress on the framework of an agreement to relocate to Salt Lake City, Utah. An NHL memo was updated for the governors today. Those are the owners in the league. It's not done yet. There's many layers and lawyers, according to Frank, but much work left to do. And then he goes on to report that sources say Coyotes players have been informed that something of a verbal agreement is in place to relocate to Salt Lake City. But he also mentions that he's received pushback on that characterization of talks. Nonetheless, this is well down the track. Let's see what happens. Well, Frank Saravalli appeared on Hanson Scotty today at 2 o'clock, and if you didn't have a chance to hear that interview, because this is such significant news and because his interview was so great and informative, we want to give you a chance right now to hear that interview as you're driving home from work or school. So let's play that. The first question that was asked was about the odds of Salt Lake getting the Coyotes next year.
So if you were walking into a sports book in Vegas and you were looking at the odds board, it would say, will the Arizona Coyotes franchise be playing in Salt Lake City next season? You'd probably be looking at a minus 275 next to it. Ooh. This is developing rapidly. It's not done, but I'm told that they've made significant and meaningful progress on what would be the framework of an agreement to sell the Arizona Coyotes franchise ultimately to Ryan Smith and the Smith Entertainment Group and bring NHL hockey to Salt Lake City in time for puck drop in October.
Frank, I want to address one of your tweets specifically where you said sources say Yotes players have been informed that something of a verbal agreement is in place to relocate to Salt Lake City. Take us a little bit deeper into that tweet, if you would. Just is this something now where even players, front office, that they're getting some level of acknowledgement that there's a move?
Yes, and I would say that it's a step further than that, in that the NHL has sent a memo to the Board of Governors alerting them. I haven't had eyes on that memo yet, but I can tell you this. It's been sent to a very, very small circle of owners, and even some other members of the Board of Governors have not received this memo. They're trying to keep the circle tight. So there's been an acknowledgement in league circles among owners that something is happening. There is an acknowledgement to Coyotes players that something is happening. And the best way I can explain it is, because this is complicated and there's a lot of nuance to it, I do think that the two sides, or I guess you could probably include the NHL in on this, the three sides are either very close or have a, you know, an actual agreement in place that basically needs to be papered and signed and lawyered. So a lot of work still to do, but it's advanced to a stage where, you know, a lot of people feel comfortable in saying behind the scenes that this is going to happen.
Do you feel like the Arizona ownership group has been given assurances that if they can acquire that land deal after this sale, that they will be given an expansion team? Is that one of the conditions in kind of forcing the sale to the Smith Group?
Well, it's not a forced sale, so I want to be clear about that. Alex Mariuolo is the owner of the Coyotes. He's doing this under his own free will, and he's, at least according to my sources, going to be paid handsomely to do it. I believe he's going to get upwards of $1 billion in order to make this sale happen. And so for someone that I believe the purchase price was in the $300 to $400 million range, that's pretty good business.
Yeah, it's not a bad return.
Yeah, so I think he did okay, provided that those numbers are accurate. And I would say that, without sounding like a lawyer, I don't think assurances is the right word, but I think that there's some option there, or at least a I think a promise from the NHL that if you get this, and this done, you build an arena, you know, you provide, you have the proper funds, you have all of these things, and it's probably a pretty long checklist, that they would consider, you know, basically giving him the option to reactivate an NHL franchise that I think they're trying to retain the Coyotes name. It might even be a reboot of the Coyotes themselves in Arizona.
So, Frank, as you mentioned, our hope is that we can have you on in some level of consistency, because just some background, I'm an NFL, former NFL player. I'm the voice now on the color side for the BYU Cougars. And
nice.
Scotty is the voice for Utah State. He's a college football expert. So we're all football all the time. And we really do want to learn a lot more about the NHL, become more familiar with it. In these moves, in maybe whatever experience that you've got in these types of moves, is it typical that all the players, that the front office, that a lot of the management make the move with it, or is there even really a precedent set to understand what we're about to witness with the Coyotes coming to Utah and the personnel that's involved?
It's a good question, and what I would say to that is it is pretty typical for most of the quote-unquote assets, so to speak, of the team to be brought over to the next location. Like the guys that are under sort of long-term contracts that are the foundational pillars of the team, yeah, those are the players that you would expect to be playing in Salt Lake City next season if it happens. You typically, the coach and the general manager and all of those things sort of move over. You know, I was covering the NHL in 2011 when the Atlanta Thrashers moved to Winnipeg. They ended up changing general managers. They ended up changing coaches with the ownership change. And part of that was just because the Thrashers just, they didn't win. They didn't win a single playoff game in their franchise history. So I think they wanted to try and move in a different direction. What's exciting about Salt Lake, if this does happen, is I think the Coyotes are really uniquely positioned, whereas instead of wanting to start from scratch with an expansion team, if I were in Ryan Smith's shoes, I'd much rather start with the Coyotes. You've got building blocks of good players. You've got some fantastic prospects. You've got an arsenal of draft picks to deal from, and you've got a team that at least this season until January showed a ton of compete and fight. So I think they're on their way. They've got a long way to go, but if you're starting with an expansion team and just park the Vegas Golden Knights and what they were able to accomplish getting to the Stanley Cup final their first season – this is a much better scenario to be in to introduce hockey, reintroduce hockey to your market. I know the proud sort of minor league history that has existed in Salt Lake City, but in this case, I think this Coyotes team, it could be really good in a 2 to 3 window period of time.
Frank Saravalli joining us, hockey insider and president of hockey content at Daily Faceoff. You can follow him on Twitter at @Frank_Saravalli. All kinds of great information, and he's been tweeting like crazy in terms of the latest on this. You circled a date as a potential announcement, and again, potential, but as April 18th. Do you feel like that this could come to a head on that specific date?
I mean, all bets are off right now because we don't know how the NHL specifically is going to react to the news of today. And, you know, I don't think that they're really one to make announcements before all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. I mean, they are two attorneys that are running this league, so they don't really leave anything to chance. And I got to be honest with you in the sense that if there is a hiccup here, if there's one roadblock, so to speak, it's that there's a bunch of people in and around this transaction that seem to have some, you know, worry that Alex Mariuolo, the owner of the Coyotes, does he get cold feet? They basically just want to get signatures on this as soon as they can. And that's certainly, you know, part of this. So April 18th was a date that was floated to me by multiple people. It just happens to coincide with the day after the Coyotes play their final regular season home game at Mullet Arena. Some people think or believe that that's when a formal announcement would be made. And obviously being 8 days from now, it lines up with the idea that these three, you know, parties to the transaction are pretty far down the track on making something happen. It's just that until it's actually done, I was told a long time ago, it's not done.
So, Frank, are you a little bit surprised that the Coyotes haven't been shopped publicly? It feels like any time an NBA team or any team out there is open and available, it's like, all right, well, let's put it on the market. Let's see how high we can get, what bids we can get. It feels like this purchase would be one of the few and rare primary organizational purchases that is kind of under the covers and behind the scenes and done without some type of public display. Does that surprise you? And why would that be in this case?
No, it doesn't surprise me. And the answer to that is in two parts. One, Alex Mariuolo has been really headstrong. Everyone has counted him out and said, you can't get a new arena built. You can't get this done. His tenure as owner has been, I'd say, certainly full of question marks about business practices and how he does things. And part of that, I think, has driven him and his family to say, yeah, we'll show you. So that's one part of it. And the other part is that hockey works a little bit differently than every other sport. There's a much more behind closed doors part of it, and you can read into that whatever you want, whether you think that's positive or negative. But there's a certain aspect to getting an NHL team and getting a seat at the table that you have to kiss the ring. And the smart people that end up being successful and get entry into the club, so to speak, they find a way to navigate that path and do it on the NHL's terms. And to me, a big signal that the NHL was ready and willing to work with Ryan Smith really came that he sent out this, you know, press release back in a few months back on the same exact day, 20 minutes after the biggest sex scandal that's hit hockey. It felt to me, it felt to many neutral observers like the Smith group was lobbing some red meat out there to distract other people. And I was like, damn, he gets it. He's on board. They're following the NHL's, you know, marching orders. You don't send out a release asking for an NHL franchise or for a formal process to be started unless you are playing ball. You don't do that willy-nilly. That doesn't happen in the NHL. And so that coupled with this, you know, tweet earlier this week from Ryan Smith soliciting team names, it's another thing that I was like, okay, this is probably another check mark in the column for the team in Utah, because look, you don't you don't do that and draw attention to yourself unless A, you have reason to, or B, you do it with the NHL's blessing. So it's an interesting league to cover, I'll say that. And I'll be real curious to see how this goes from here.
So outside of the deep pockets and knowing how to play the game, like Ryan Smith has played, as you've pointed out, what makes him as an owner in Salt Lake City in itself a desirable location for the NHL?
From this, I can't answer specifically for the NHL, but my opinion would be it's one of the fastest growing markets in the U.S. By and large, it's mostly pretty wealthy. It has a hockey history. There's clearly a sort of tech component to a lot of what is being built in Salt Lake City, too. There's people, you know, that are moving in left, right, and center, it feels like. Proximity to some other teams. The fact that there is, you know, winter activities and stuff happening around it. It's not, you know, a Sun Belt team, so to speak. And I'd also say really the deep pockets and care that Ryan Smith has shown as steward of the Utah Jazz that has really helped his case. You know, this isn't someone that they're going into this blind with. You have to remember that Gary Bettman, he's been commissioner in the NHL for a long, long time, the longest reign of any commissioner in major pro sports, but he cut his teeth in the NBA before he came over to the NHL. And so he's got friends that would be able to vouch for, hey, this is how Ryan Smith is. This is how he does business. It's not hard to go through a vetting process. So you take all those things and you smash them all together. And it's also right place, right time. It's helping out a league that's in need of an exit ramp, and they're providing that in a building right now in Delta Center, and in the future with either a building that's done in concert with the 2034 Olympics or just Smith goes out and does it on his own. But there's tons of runway for this team to hit the ground running and be successful. And I also think the idea that they sort of rid themselves and rebrand the toxic name that was the Coyotes is going to be hugely important right off the hop.
There you go. Frank Saravalli, who's been reporting of the Daily Faceoff, that the NHL, the Coyotes, and Smith Entertainment Group are working on an agreement to sell and relocate the franchise to Salt Lake City. And everything he said there points to that being not done, but certainly points to that happening, Mitch.
Pretty insightful stuff there from Frank, and you know, it's, you know, the same thought that I had when Ryan Smith sent out that tweet soliciting for feedback on a team name. Like, the NHL will not, you know, it's not going to support that sort of activity from a potential owner unless you've maybe got the green light from the NHL. I thought that was noteworthy, but this is exciting times. And I think that everyone in the NHL looks at this and says, like, Salt Lake's got potential. And that's been the buzz. And you got to imagine that he's been talking with, you know, NHL people and, you know, kind of getting a pulse of where, you know, what they view of Salt Lake City. And, you know, Salt Lake City's got a lot of potential. And it feels like a perfect fit for the NHL.
The takeaway I got from there, some of the most important things is Ryan Smith he's really done his homework here.
Yes.
He has really done his work. What he did that was most important is he won over Gary Bettman, and he won over the team's owners. They want him in the club, and it's so important to be in the club. And it's not, as Frank explained, it's not easy to get in that club. This is much different than some of the other teams, and they're not going to have just any owner come in. And I think that Ryan's passed the test, which is a benefit to all of us who would like to see the NHL in Utah. There's just so many good things happening here, and it's all signs pointing to. It's not official. The deal is not done. There's a lot of work that has to be done, and it's probably being done right now, and it will continue to be done through the next week. We're hearing rumblings that an announcement of some kind could be made on April 18th. That's 8 days from now. That is the day after the regular season ends, and the Coyotes season ends since they're not going to the playoffs. So stay tuned for that. But that's the latest. That's Frank Saravalli of the Daily Faceoff, and he's been reporting all day on this, and very fascinating as this story continues to develop, and we'll continue to follow it here on KSL Sports and 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
How and
It's time to get the inside scoop on the Utah Jazz. From the play-by-play voice of the Jazz, David Locke.
Sweet revenge!
Presented by Murdoch Auto Group. Ow! On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Live from the Dish Bros, Jeremiah Jensen, Mitch Harper in for Alex Keery this week. And it is now our pleasure, as we do each and every week, to welcome in the creator of the Locked On Podcast Network and the voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke. Locke, how you doing today?
I'm good. Mitch, how are you? Jeremiah, good to talk to you. Fun, exciting day in Salt Lake, huh?
I know. Let's before we get into the Jazz, I'm dying to get your reaction because you've worked and lived in this market for a long time. If this happens and the NHL comes to Utah, wow, I never thought this day could come, and here we are, and it's getting really close. Your reaction to the NHL possibly coming to Utah as early as next year?
Well, I mean, I think Ryan Smith has a real vision of what he's trying to do with our community and how he's trying to build it out and, you know, show its depth. And I think he's, you know, very interested in building Utah into something bigger than it is right now. So this is all part of that. He's obviously bullish on hockey. He's made that clear in multiple interviews. The business model that the Ryan Smith and the Jazz have used since Ryan took over, which is fewer sponsors but higher profile for those sponsors. So you see America First Credit Union at a higher level. You see Delta at a higher level, but you only have one credit union, or, you know, Zions Bank, and you only have one bank, and they're profiled higher, unlike it used to be where you could have had, I mean, I even had broadcasts where I had as many as four or five credit unions advertising in the same broadcast. That model, I think, opens up the capability for Salt Lake City / Provo Ogden to have multiple teams in the same market, because of the fact that the biggest question against it over the years was, are there enough corporate dollars? Are there enough corporate, you know, businesses to be able to carry two franchises? And I think that, you know, by changing the way they're doing advertising, I think they're going to be able to possibly serve their clients better and have more involved and be able to answer that question.
Now, you've worked in a big league market like Seattle. Yeah, and I want to ask you this question:
it was pretty great, by the way. Just to like,
I can't imagine how did that impact that market having multiple of the big four leagues in town? How will that impact Salt Lake City and Utah?
Well, I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, that obviously when I was in Seattle, it was Sonics, Mariners, Seahawks, Huskies, and the Huskies are basically a pro team. It's just kind of endless, right? There's just always something going on, and you know, you got into November and you had an NBA game, an NFL game, and a college football game all in the same week. And if you got in September, you had all four at times. You know, it's just kind of constant. It just makes you feel like a really big city. And so I think it's, you know, those are the things that are great. I think it makes life better for your citizens and makes your communities tied better and gives you more to root for and me to be a part of. And, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, we can get really deep on this, but there's all sorts of things that are out there about how much less time we're all spending together as individuals and how much less community time there are. And, you know, this just brings the community together and another place to do it. You know, and maybe in multiple, for all we know, multiple places to do it. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how the arenas are going to work and things like that, but, and then you also have concerts and all the other things that Ryan's really changed the amount of, you know, the shows that are coming to Utah are just much more common and bigger shows than we used to have coming to Utah, not to mention, you know, Dana White and his group, you know, UFC coming. So I just, you know, we're just seeing Ryan's on a mission to change where we sit in the sports landscape, and he's certainly doing it.
you bring up the arenas, and like I said, we don't know all the details if that NHL team, when it's all across the T's, dot the I's to where they're going to be playing. But if they're in the Delta Center, they'd be the 11th franchise that shares a venue with an NBA team. Does the NBA and NHL, when they come to like discussing schedules, they collaborate on figuring out dates to make sure they're kind of in a alignment so there's not any sort of crossover? Do they communicate at all on that?
Well, I mean, I think – I'm not sure I followed your question because I actually thought you were going somewhere else, Mitch. Sorry, so that's my bad. I did that evil thing where you're like, oh, this is where he's going. Here's my answer, and then I think you pivoted, or at least you pivoted. So, I mean, there is – there's coordination, obviously, with scheduling, and somebody's your primary tenant, and then somebody else is your secondary tenant. So, you know, for the Clippers at crypto.com, they're the third tenant. So the Lakers are first, the Kings are second, and Clippers were third on scheduling. That's why they're now building a building in Inglewood. You know, the one that gets really interesting on this, to me, is with the proliferation of concerts, right? So this is we don't talk about it a lot. It's not our world. But if you kind of read the trades and things, this is like the greatest era ever of concerts post-COVID and with music streaming. So the artists aren't making money on their music the way they used to, so they need to do concerts. And then because of the community, people seem to be turning out to do community-centric things more often than they did post-COVID. And so this is the greatest run of concerts. Well, if you suddenly have, you know, from October 1st to April 15th, you have 82 nights already full because you have hockey and NBA. And then it's not just those 82 nights that are full, because there's actually a bunch of nights you have to block off just for schedule makers, right? Just logically, the NBA needs a bunch of nights blocked off for you to be able to get to the 41 nights that they're available. That, and then the NHL would need the same thing. It makes it incredibly difficult to have all these have concerts from October until April. So I do kind of wonder whether or not you're going to see almost every single market have two arenas because of the fact that it just with the proliferation of concerts, that it actually makes sense to be able to have those kind of nights. You know, if Disney on Ice wants to come for 7 days, but the hockey team needs to be in town at the same time, well, you know, right now Disney on Ice comes and the Jazz just go out of town. Okay, well, that's not a big deal. But if Disney on Ice comes for 7 days and then the Jazz and the hockey team have to go out of town, well, they got to make up those dates. Well, then that's just blocking a whole other section. So I do almost wonder whether or not the model in almost every one of these cities is going to be two arenas. And that's why we have 11. Okay. You know, one of them is LA. I think they have something crazy, like 400 events a year in 365 days in that in arena.
Well, it's a good problem to have.
You know, they do a lot of, you know, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clocks.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I remember in the playoffs they had to do that when the Clippers and Lakers were in the playoffs at the same time. They had to work all that out. But that's a good problem to have. And I just can't the possibility of this is happening. It's a little surreal, but I'm just so fired up about it. I'm excited about
it. I will tell you that, like, it was probably 6 to 8 weeks ago, someone said to me, like, hockey's coming to Salt Lake and next year, and Phoenix is getting their team, and Phoenix will be guaranteed an arena, or guaranteed a team when they guarantee themselves an arena down the road. So it does. This has been talked about, and the route by which a lot of people thought this was gonna play out.
Yeah, and then let's be honest, like, we're not naive. These things don't happen in one day.
Right.
They just come to the surface on one day in a report, but these things take a long time to work out, and there's still a lot of things to work out, but it seems inevitable at this point. Let's turn to the Jazz real quick before we let you loose, Locke. I was watching your Locked On Jazz today. You talked about Colin Sexton. He missed his first game last night, but you mentioned you believe he's the story of the season for the Jazz. Why?
Well, because a year ago, I think the story was Lowry and how good he was, and yeah. I think Collins made that same jump this year, that Collins a really viable NBA piece to a good team. You know, I don't think that people knew whether or not he was a viable piece to a good team, frankly. I think they knew he could score, but he scored in a more efficient manner involving his teammates. You know, is he a starting guard or a sixth man? I don't really know. It depends so much on the rest of your roster. But, and then I just also think he's just a really, positive person to have around. He's infectious. His energy level's high. Play hard matters in this league. He plays hard. He's not a, like, picturesque defensive player. He's kind of decent on the ball and probably suboptimal off the ball. But he's offensively, he's as good a driver as there is in the league. He's moved himself into a top 15 pick and roll player. He's really evolved, matured, and developed into a good basketball player. And I don't know that that's what Cleveland thought they were giving up. I don't know if that's what the Jets thought they were getting. And I'll be perfectly honest, I didn't think he'd be at this level. I thought he had great skills, but I thought Will had kind of tapped his specialness when he was using him off ball, swinging it to him and letting him just drive downhill and, you know, playing him off the ball with an advantage. I did not think that the day would come where Collins running pick and rolls with some patience and understanding and slowing down and finding open guys. That's a skill set he added throughout the year. It's pretty great.
You also mentioned that you enjoyed watching some guys play for their NBA lives and NBA jobs last night and for this last part of the season. And you've seen that. Johnny Juzang, 27 points, 7 of 8 from 3 against the Warriors. Luka Šamanić did some good things last night. What are some of these things you've witnessed about these players, and who do you think has really helped play their way into the league in the future with what they've done these last few weeks with the opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, hey, I got it. If you're a Jazz fan, particularly, you know, fans, there's nothing wrong with this. Like, the reason we're fans is because we somehow get some rush out of winning, right? Like, that's why we dress up in an outfit and we go to a game and we root for the BYU Cougars. And if they win on, you know, even if they beat, you know, Rice, we feel better about ourselves, right? Like, it's just a weird thing, but it's true. It's just how it works as a sports fan. Like, if your team wins, you're like, yes. Like, you're fist pumping because you're excited, right? You're clapping because you're excited. I get it. And I think that's great. It's why we all have a living, and it's a unique phenomenon. Like, Sebastian Junger's book Tribe touches into it, and it's really interesting. But I think so right now is no fun, because you're not getting any of that from the Jazz right now in this losing streak. But I do think from a humanistic standpoint, you know, and I'm not trying to, as I said on the show today, I'm not trying to have them plead poverty. You know, they've all made a lot of money, but they're trying to stay in the league. And, you know, the thing about this is, like, remember Joel Ballenboy? Gone. Remember Elijah Hughes?
Yeah.
Gone. Right? Like, remember these guys? Like, they're just gone. They just disappear from the landscape. It's over. And the average player in our league lasts, like, 3.5-4 years. And so, you know, guys just disappear. Like, you think back at, like, gone. Like, Trey Burke kind of lingered for a while. But, you know, there's always, you know, Jared Butler's hanging on barely, but probably gone at the end of this year. And so these guys are playing for a chance to not be in Europe and to be in the NBA and to live the life. And it's kind of awesome to watch and see them try to, you know, leave that lasting impact and get themselves another opportunity. It's the part of me that actually thinks that we should be, Corn Ferry Tour. Like, I actually think the most interesting week of golf, if we ever package it right, is like that last week of the Corn Ferry Tour when those guys are getting a PGA Tour card. Like John Feinstein's book, The Q School, is incredible. Like, to me, you know, the Epson Tour, the women's, like, yeah, let's go watch that. Like, you know, how someone hasn't really turned the Corn Ferry Tour into, in a day and age, I'm really babbling here, apologize, Mitch is going to, like, look at you, Jeremiah, and be like, dude, is he always that crazy?
Yes, he is. That's why we love him.
Like, but seriously, like, in a day and age of Amazing Race and Survivor and all these reality shows, is there any greater reality show than, like, the Corn Ferry Tour? Like, a bunch of guys trying to make the PGA Tour? Like, really, that's, like, that's reality TV in the finest level. So, you know, we have a little bit of that. We have the Q School going on right now in the NBA for 8 teams, and they're battling, and these guys are battling. And, you know, Šamanić, like, I thought the first half played crazy nervous, and I think he plays nervous. Like, he just plays tight, and you just, every now and then, instinctual plays happen to him, and he makes a really good play, and you're like, oh, well, that's okay. That's what he can do. Like, how do you get him comfortable enough that he doesn't, you know, that he just plays? And I think Omer Yurksaven put up, what, 20 and 14 against Nikola Jokic? Like, someone's going to see that in the league and be like, oh, okay, I'll take him as a third big. Well, third big's $1 million.
Yeah, there you go. You think you maybe just gave Netflix a multi-million-dollar idea, too, with that Corn Ferry Tour idea. I'd love to see that and watch that. Jazz Rockets last home game.
I would prefer keeping multi-million-dollar ideas to myself. But
well, then why don't you make it happen? There you go.
Never know.
Jazz Rockets tomorrow night, 7 p.m., last home game, then Clippers on the road, 8:30 p.m. on Friday. And then the season finale at the Warriors, April 14th. Lock, next time we talk, it'll be the off season. How about that?
I hate that.
I know.
Everyone used to always walk up to me like, oh, my God, that's the greatest job ever. So, like, you work from, like, October 1 to April 15th, and then you're, like, off. That's the greatest thing ever. And I'd be like, or not.
Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Because this brain just goes away and shuts off.
Uh-huh.
And I sit still super well. Can you tell?
You'll be up to something.
My strength in life are sitting still calmly. Mm-hmm. That's on the top 10 list of things I do well.
Well, we got one heck of an off season to cover here coming up, so I think it's going to be pretty dynamic and fascinating. So we look forward to that. Locke, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on each and every week. We enjoy it.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Jeremy. Mitch, nice to see you. Keep up the good work. Nice to talk to you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks. Okay. All right, that's David Locke, the voice of the Utah Jazz, kind enough to share some time with us today. Somebody who's spent some time in a market like Seattle where they have multiple pro sports teams, not as many as they used to, although now they have the Kraken, even though they don't have the Sonics. But there's something about those multiple league cities. It just elevates the city and the profile of the city, and Utah's about to take that step.
Well, and it's a great point about with the scheduling, and because you always think of the, you know, Valentine's Week, the Harlem Globetrotters are going to roll into the Delta Center, and then you got all these like appointment things in the Delta Center. Assuming the NHL Utah team would be in the Delta Center, there's all these scheduling quirks that go in. There's so much that has to get done, and again, it emphasizes, going back to the Coyotes, that something's got to get done in this next maybe 8 days. So hopefully they can get a resolution here and get this the ball rolling.
The exciting times here in Utah and in Salt Lake City. We got to take a short break. JJ and Alex live from the Dish Pros. Best and worst is next after this.
And now, a look at traffic from the KSL Traffic Center.
Well, it's been a busy drive this afternoon. Still looking at delays. Southbound I-15 leaving downtown. This is starting right at about 6 South all the way down to 146 South in Draper. Then seeing more delays going between Lehigh into the Orem area. On the flip side, also looking at slowdowns from about 800 North in Orem up into American Fork, hitting the delays again into the valley. This is again starting about 146 South in spots all the way to downtown.
Wrapping up the hour with our picks for the best and worst moments on today's show, as JJ and Alex want to hear your best and worst of the day.
All right, JJ and Alex, Jeremiah Jensen, Mitch Harper, live from the Dish Pros. The show rolls on here, and it's best and worst. Let's do the worst first, because the best is the best. I don't want to end on that. We usually do that. This is the worst. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said Wednesday afternoon that Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter, who was under investigation by the league following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months, could be banned permanently if what he's accused of is true, calling it a cardinal sin.
Wow.
Now, Mitch, this is a bad situation, and he would certainly be deserving of that. But when you bring gambling into this mainstream, and these leagues are profiting from partnerships with these gambling organizations. We know what they are. I'm not going to say their name on the air. Sure. We know who they are. What do you think is going to happen? You get in bed with gambling, and now you have players that might be – somebody's going to hit them up for a lot of money to throw something some way.
I'll be honest.
You're going to be shocked and like, oh, how dare you? Adam Silver, your league's making money from these companies and these bettors.
I thought, why would there even be consideration of a lifetime ban when just that same thought? I mean, it's so mainstream to where some arenas have live in-game betting opportunities in-game in the arena to get the second half odds, the second half line, the money line. I mean, it just seems strange because I just feel like people's views of gambling now, it's not like it was when it was Pete Rose. I just feel like it's so mainstream to where no one's fazed by it. It's just what we know. We see it all the time.
You bring up Pete Rose. This is not new.
No.
Remember point-shaving scandals in college basketball?
Yeah,
they go back
State.
To the 70s.
Yeah.
This is not new. And what this is hypocritical to me, because these leagues are now in bed with these gambling companies. They're profiting from it. They're in partnership. There's ESPN Bet now. And then a player does this, and we're shocked. And he's like, this is a cardinal sin.
the permanent ban list in the NBA, what does that look like? I mean, Sterling? I mean, who else is on that?
I can't tell you who's on a permanent ban list. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I mean,
it would be unprecedented.
It'd have to be – I'd be fascinated to see that full list of the permanent banned individuals from the NBA, but it had to be some pretty terrible things to be on a permanent ban, and it just doesn't feel like because – of the connections and how mainstream gambling is in sports and everyday life now, it seems like, I don't know if that's permanent ban levels for someone.
I agree with you. The league's caused this problem on their own. All right, our best real quick, and it's nothing new, but if you just got in your car and you haven't heard, Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff reporting that the NHL, the Arizona Coyotes, and Smith Entertainment Group have made significant progress on the framework of an agreement to relocate the Arizona Coyotes to Salt Lake City, Utah. And Frank goes on to say that the Coyotes players have been informed that something of a verbal agreement is in place to relocate to Salt Lake City, but we've received pushback on that characterization of the talks. ESPN also has a report today confirming everything that Frank just reported, and that the league is a big fan of Ryan Smith, and the owners would love to have him join their club. So, Utah fans, if you're listening to your car, get ready. The NHL is on its way. It's not official. The deal's not done, but expect something of an announcement possibly on April 18th, the day after the NHL regular season ends and the Coyotes season ends. All right, you know who's fired up about that is Ryan from the Dish Bros. For multiple reasons. One, you're a big sports fan, right?
You